Greeting, ghouls and ghosts. Welcome to a very special Halloween edition of the Joe Van Secret Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Van, as always. And with me today is a recurring guest, Samantha. Last name redacted, but the only one who's got the name Sam so far on the podcast. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. It's been a year since my last appearance. Last Halloween episode.
That's right.
So 1 year later, I'm back for more spooks.
Yeah. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
So last time, we had a bit of a bigger crew. Like, we had a bigger budget, you know. We had our own theme song. A lot of stuff was going on, right? But the main theme of Halloween we used to try and talk about the history of Halloween and a bunch of other fun facts surrounding Halloween. This time around, I thought we'd do things a little differently. This episode's going to be a little shorter than normal, right? It's a little more impromptu, but we would spend the time talking about, like, scary movies and other forms of media that people love to ingest during this Halloween season. It's a very special season, you know, there's not much like it. It's a great excuse to just watch, like, regular scary movies in general if you don't normally watch it. You know, if you don't like scary movies, but you're like, well, it's the Halloween season, might as well jump into it, you know? So, with that in mind, Sam, what would you say is your top scary movie?
Oh, well, of course you know this, but the audience doesn't, but my favorite is Scream.
That's your favorite?
What do you think my favorite is?
I thought your favorite was Don't Breathe.
Kate, I do love Don't Breathe. That is probably my favorite, like, horror, thriller, genre movie. Mm-hmm. But when I think of, like, Halloween scary movies, I think of, like, Scream. Don't Breathe is definitely, like, up there. But just overall, like, I don't know. I just love the Scream franchise, especially the first one, because I love the mix of, like, scary with comedy, and it's kind of being, like satire, right?
Yeah.
So, it's different than Don't Breathe. Don't Breathe is, like, super tense, but, like, I would watch that, like, year-round, whereas Scream I save for Halloween.
Yeah, that's great.
So, because this is the Halloween podcast, that's why I said Scream.
Yeah, very good. But, gonna be honest with you, it's kind of disappointing you didn't say, was it Halloween Town?
Halloween Town?
Yeah.
That was my favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah. Doesn't really hold up to today's scary movie standards. I haven't watched it in
a
couple years,
but, no, that's a classic. I love Halloween Town.
Yeah. What other scary things did you ever see as a kid? Is Halloween Town it? I mean, it's not even scary, but, you know.
There were, like, Halloween-themed movies on the Family Channel, because that was really what I watched when I was a kid. I wasn't much
Haunted
of a
Mansion.
YTV or Nickelodeon person.
Okay,
I was mostly Family Channel.
Yeah.
And so they would have, like, oh, I forget the names of them now. One of them was, like, about their mom dating a vampire. One of them was, like, a movie theater, like, being haunted.
Nice.
There are lots of, like,
straight to DVD kind of
things.
Yeah,
that
TV
I definitely
movies.
Remember when I was younger, but it's kind of funny that this is now my second Halloween podcast appearance. Makes it seem like I'm, like, in love with Halloween, but, like, I've never
was a
crazy Halloween fan. I feel like in the last couple of years, I've really, like, been, like, I want to watch all the scary movies, because, like, growing up, I was never a horror fan, but now I, like, love watching them.
Yeah. Nice. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm the one making the only themed episodes, all these podcasts so far, is just Halloween. So clearly I care more about Halloween than, like, Christmas or Easter or any of the other holidays. But yeah, and I'm not even, like, in love with horror movies. I the idea, I guess, excites me, you know? Like, I'll give you a bit of a backstory, and I'm sure I've told you this before, but, like, when I was younger, as any kid is, I was scared of the dark, right? And when I was, like, 3 or 4 or something...
I'm still scared of the dark.
You're still to this day. Well, it's a...
Not
it's
just the young thing. I'm still afraid.
Yeah, but it's an instinct that's bred into us through evolution. Because in the dark, you don't know what's out there. There could be a predator. Obviously, it doesn't make sense because we live in houses now, not in caves. But that instinct of be afraid of the dark because a predator might attack you is instilled in people, right? And because it's a feeling and not like the actual image of a predator jumping at you in a cave, it's like just a feeling. So movies can tweak that and use that to scare the hell out of you. Like, especially with ghost movies and stuff. It's usually always in the dark and you hear like a little kid laughing or something. But there's always this feeling or this idea that something's going to get you. And you don't know what it is and you can't see it. And that's what makes like invisible ghosts especially scary. Poltergeists. Because you can't see them. But they can see you and they can touch you and you can't touch them. So it's like this impossible just paranoia and fear that like courses through every average person's brain, I guess, is this fear of the dark or fear of the unknown. But yeah, when I was a little kid, I had a nightmare, and then I forget how it all started, because I think I was like 3 years old, and I'm sure I've already told this on the podcast before, but I have a nightmare. And then since then, it's like I was always like in that weird bridge of being excited and terrified of the dark or ghosts or anything like that. It's like I want more of the fear or something. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to explain. Because, like, nothing traumatic ever happened to me. I never had an actual ghostly experience before. I've had things, you know, close to it where it's like I get chills down my spine or whatever. But, like, I never actually had a ghost experience. And so when I was younger, I always tried to find that. It's like I went out of my way. I would go to places that I think were haunted, right, to try and catch something. Even though the entire time I'm scared. And it's like I don't want to be there. It's like I'm squirrely. Like I'm ready to run the second I hear something. But I'll put myself in those situations where I'm there, because I'm just hunting for the fear. I don't know what I was doing. It's weird, right? Yeah, I don't know. But like maybe just me trying to combat the fear, that way I'm not afraid of it anymore. That kind of thing. But times have definitely changed since then. Been an adult for quite a while now. You know, same with you. But I think, yeah, I just watch scary movies now. Like, I don't know, just for nostalgia's sake or curiosity's sake. Because otherwise, I don't actually like scary movies. Like, I watch, like, Hereditary, Midsommar, and whatever else that guy, Ari Aster, comes out with, I'll watch. But I don't enjoy them. I don't enjoy any of them. But, like, why do I do it? I don't know. Seems like it comes at night. Because it's art, maybe? I don't know. But it's like, I don't actually like scary movies. I'm scared of them. But I just, it's like this thrill. It's like a drug or something, you know? That heightened sense gets your adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, it's the thrill of it that I like.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy watching scary movies, but like, things like the remakes of Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, those are horrible movies. Like, they're not scary, they're not fun, it's not good dialogue, it's not good writing. So like, those I don't even care about, but like, I really love like good horror thriller movies, and I think it's for the thriller part of it. Not knowing what's happening, what's going to happen next, like that kind of thing.
With the tension.
Yeah.
Even though you said with the Quiet Place.
That was too much.
Too much tension.
Yeah.
That was yeah, too there's much. A level. Yeah.
I couldn't breathe. Like,
it's too intense and it's just not enjoyable anymore. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so it's more of a survival thing then. It's the mystery, because that's what Scream is that it's like a survival thing. It's like, yeah, you don't know who's going to get you next or what's going to happen.
I think I don't really care for like paranormal movies or supernatural movies, because I don't believe in the paranormal. And so those don't affect me at all. And it's not thrilling to me, because it's like so fake. And obviously like a lot of monster movies are fake and that kind of thing. But
it's still physical, it's still real.
Yeah, like those fight. But people are real.
Yeah.
Like humans are real.
They kill.
So that makes it scary, because there's more of a like the Purge movies. Yeah. Again, not good movies. I'm not gonna say that. But I love the concept of the Purge, because it's so terrifying. Because like I could see that happening. Like the concept of the Purge, I could see happening in real life, and that's why it's terrifying. So I love the concept of it. Like I wish it was like done better.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's the concept. That's what horror movies do great, is just concept movies. It's like every horror movie should really just be a short film, but they just make it an hour and a half just with filler stuff in the middle just to make it a movie so they can like release it. But it makes money. It's like, what's a good example of, I don't know, like porn, I guess. Horror movies are like porn. It's like, it's just the concept people want. They don't really care what the actual, like, what you actually give them, so long as the concept is there. As long as the basic idea is there, they love it, and they'll buy tickets. Like, the trashiest horror movies come out, and people still buy tickets for it.
Yeah, but see, I don't. Like, I go see horror movies in theaters if it's,
at least good quality.
Well-reviewed, and good quality, and that kind of thing. Like, I haven't seen any of, like, the, Insidious movies. Actually, I've heard those aren't bad, though.
The first two.
Yeah, but, like, movies like that. Like, I haven't seen any of the Saws. I haven't, like... We've been watching new movies for me for the first time. Like, I just watched all the Final Destinations for the first time. Like, yeah, I only go and see it in theaters if it's, like, good quality. Like,
yeah. Well, okay, so since, like, throughout our relationship, we've watched scary movies in theaters. Mm-hmm. Is this, like, the first, like, only through me have you been seeing these scary movies in theaters? Or have you seen scary movies in theaters in the past?
Oh, I always have. Lisa and I, I can say that. Whoever that is.
Yeah.
Lisa and I, we would always go watch scary movies together in theaters. Okay.
But you didn't
see watched Don't Breathe together. We watched A Quiet Place together.
Yeah.
We watched, like, The Conjuring together.
Oh, you saw The Conjuring. Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like
other ones, like some of the M. Night Shyamalan ones, like Visit or something. Yeah,
The Visit. Yeah,
we've always watched scary movies together.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, horror movies. I heard something on a podcast recently about how, for whatever reason, just a weird coincidence, but every turn of the decade, apparently, just really good movies come out. Like 1999, the list of amazing movies just, like, exploded, and then the same thing, and then in 2009 it was the same thing, and now in 2019. Tons of good movies, like good scary movies, like good quality, that kind of thing. It's a weird trend. And I'm sure it's not, you know, you could find other years that don't end in 9 that also have an amazing list. But it's just a weird coincidence that there's such a long list of good movies at every end of the decade. And just that we're in it now and, like, everybody's raving about Joker and Midsommar and, like, Lighthouse and all these other scary movies. It's a good time to be alive, I guess, when you think about where horror movies used to be. And they still are there. But a long period of just trash came out before quality stuff started to come out. Like, what'd you think of Comes at Night? Because I think that one's the most art house that you've ever seen.
It had, like, a disappointing ending. Like, it felt like it didn't really
lead to anything. Makes you feel like, what was the point of even watching it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad endings do it.
There wasn't much, like, didn't really lead up to anything. So it's kind of like you watch, like,
this
2 hours of just build up without
nothing.
Yeah. There really being a climax or anything, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just disappointment. Well, it's weird how important the ending of something is, because it's like a psychological trickery with our brain where you could watch a movie that's really good, but then have a terrible ending. And it spoils the entire movie experience. And then the same thing goes with anything else. If you're, you know, just... You go, like, biking or something. And you have a really good bike ride. Like, you know, if you're going up a trail or something. And it's fun the whole time. But then, like, right at the end you slip. And hurt yourself. And then it just creates this crummy experience. The whole experience is now crummy now. Because of that. So it's interesting how that works. And especially because horror movies usually have crappy endings. So it just creates this trash fire where, like the good example that I've been using for a while now is Blade Runner, because Blade Runner is super slow and a lot of people say it's really slow and stuff, but they say, but it was still good in the end. And it's like, because the last scene, the, like, director made sure to make it, like, emotional. And, like, TV shows do this too, especially drama shows, where it's like you get the music that starts to play and it shows, like, a montage of all the characters and the stuff they're doing, like, reflecting on whatever experience they just had. And then that's usually always a good way to end it. Even though it's super cliche, it's like ending a movie well is important.
Of course, because it's like the last thing that sticks with you.
Yeah, and with horror movies, most of the time they do it bad.
Well, yeah, and my brother and I were talking about this. It's because a lot of the time with horror movies, they'll do like a, they'll end the movie and then they'll fade to like a 1 year later or however many months, years later.
And the killer's not really dead.
Not even that, but it'll try to, like, wrap it up and as if they're living these, like, happy lives and stuff. But, like, a lot of the time, you don't need that. Like, you could just end it without there being, like, a, what are they up to now? Let's see how happy they are all now. Like, leave it. Leave it as it is. Like, we don't need to see them being happy. Like, we can use our imaginations.
Yeah. Do you think it's important to have a shocking ending for a horror movie to work? To really get people in the end? Because you think of... Friday the 13th, the first one, where Jason Voorhees isn't the main character, it's his mom going around slaughtering a bunch of horny teenagers, And then right at the end, the last teenager decapitates the mom and is finally safe.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
It came out in, what, 1979 or 80? I don't know. But, and then, so she's alive. And then she, like, rows in a rowboat or something. I don't know why, because she killed her. But it's like, she tries, is just trying to get away. Kills her, gets in a boat, and then paddles off. And she's, like, in, like, the middle of the lake. Whatever it's called, Crystal Lake. And then in the last second, it's just this, and it looks terrible now, the prosthetics of, like, this kid. But it's supposed to be, like, a child with deformities. And it's, like, it's zombie or something, but it's like the dead kid that the mom's going around killing the teens for just comes out of the water and grabs the girl and brings her in. And then that became like a trend that horror movies started using all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like I, just for the first time, the two of us watched Nightmare on Elm Street, and that was the first time I saw that. And that kind of does the same thing where it's like, you think it's over. And then it's the shock twist is that it's not over and the bad guy's still out there. And then so it ends with just this super quick ending. Like, it's really quick. Like, a bunch of scary stuff happens and then the credits hit.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a big trend that I think is still kind of being used today. Except for the art housey ones. But, yeah. Yeah. Well, what would you say is your favorite type of horror movie? And you kind of already said you don't like the paranormal stuff. So would you say it's mostly thriller?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it, like, a healthy mix of, like, jump scares slash just thriller?
Mostly thriller, and I like when there's comedy in it. Yeah. I don't care for paranormal. I don't care for gore.
Yeah.
Mostly the thrilling aspect of it. If it's has some like lighthearted moments in it too, some comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just if it's like kind of like reinventing the genre.
Yeah. If it is original in some way, if it does stuff that hasn't been done before. We just recently finished watching Grave Encounters 2, and that did a bunch of different stuff in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the first one that's ever gone meta. Well, Scream is probably the first one that did that. But do you think that the idea of being original sometimes goes too far, like maybe Scream 4, where it's like, you think it would be better, or they just should never have even made it?
Well, Scream 4 is definitely the worst
one. Which, like, as many twists as possible. It's just cram-packed with just, you don't know what's going to happen, and just, you know, supposed to be upping the ante every single time, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah. True. Well, how are you liking the Halloween season so far? It's coming together all right?
Yeah, no, it's been good. So something that we actually did was we went to a super terrifying haunted house.
Yeah, yeah.
Last weekend, the Tunnel of Terror. So we went into a mine. So what was it, like 7 stories underground?
Yeah,
sounds about right. In an old mine. So we had to like wear hard hats. That's very legit. Yeah,
lets you know where you are.
It was like... Oh, it was so good. It was so scary, though. I can't believe I did it.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of, like, live actors dressed up and, like, so in character, just being creepy and, like, following you around and, like, jumping out at you.
And they're volunteers. It's, like, something about that just, you know, makes it even more messed up. You want to be a volunteer now?
No, I would want to get paid, but, like, that would be fun to do.
Yeah.
And so, like, we did that and, like... Oh, I can't believe I did that. That was terrifying. And then we went to a homemade one. When we were going down the street, we saw...
Just in someone's...
Like, a couple people dressed in, like, all black and, like, these masks. And just on the sidewalk in the street, just, like, staring at you as you drove down. Yeah. And so we went to it, and it was someone who had made their house into a haunted house.
Yeah.
And that was so good. Like, they had live actors as well. It was similar to the other one we did, just, like, in someone's house. But, like, they decorated, like, the whole thing. It was... So well done.
It was super, super well themed and like, yeah, just in general, well put together. Like it felt pure Halloween.
Yeah. Compared to like something being kids scary. Kids being like actors and one being like a creepy doll. And one was Georgie.
Yeah. Good old Georgie boy.
I definitely want to do that when I'm older. That's so fun.
Or just have a kids that they could be Georgie. Georgie's a classic.
But I can't believe I did 2 in one weekend because normally I would never go in a haunted house. Those things... terrifying me.
It's like an escape room but worse.
No, yeah, I don't like it.
It's just one path. How many have you been in before? How many haunted areas? Like, have you ever been to Halloween Haunt at Canada's Wonderland?
I can't remember if I talked about this last year.
Yeah.
I might have mentioned it. I've never been to Canada's Wonderland during Halloween because I am terrified of that. I remember being in LA and my brother and I went to Universal and there was a haunted house there.
Oh yeah.
And it was terrifying because it was 90% jump scares. Like the one we did was
It was
90% live actors following you around and being creepy, but then 10% jump scares.
Yeah.
So this one was a ton of jump scares, which was so tense. And I remember being in line and reading the signs where it's if you're pregnant, don't do this. And then I saw the actors aren't allowed to touch you.
Yeah.
So I'm okay, good. They're not allowed to touch me. So we're going through, and I remember it was someone dressed up as a werewolf,
yeah.
And he, was following me around, and he touched me, and I remember freaking out, I was going through this haunted house, my brother's laughing, and I get touched, and I'm just starting screaming at him, I'm like, you're not allowed to touch me, they said you're not allowed to touch me!
That's how you get someone to immediately pull back, be like, oh shit, lawsuits.
And then... I remember being a kid and being at school and having haunted houses, but those were obviously low key.
Yeah, yeah, they're a lot lower quality and lower on the frights.
I try to avoid them.
Yeah.
But you make me go into them.
Yeah. Well, hey, now you never have to do it again because that's what I told you. Never again. If you agree to this one, you'll never do another one again. So.
Yeah,
you
don't that have to one worry was about terrifying. And they told us before I went in. They gave us all the rules, and they said that the safe word is pineapple. So if at any point you're too scared and you want to leave, you have to shout pineapple. And they said that 196 people had said pineapple
that year.
Yeah, since when it started at the beginning of October. And I'm that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And someone actually said it
right behind
me. The person that was right behind me said it.
Yeah, next up in the scary lane.
Yeah, so.
That's jokes. Well, there you go. You beat them, right?
I know.
Even though you're so terrified, you can hardly even imagine going in one, you're still more brave than the people who actively do it. Yeah, I just had to,
really tell myself, this is a regular person. It's not real. They're just dressed up and they're just yelling at me, but they don't mean it. And, as soon as you kind of, just try it, look at them like a real person and not a scary person, it kind of helps.
Yeah. And for me, the idea I put in my head when going through it is because we had to wear hard hats, and they were all wearing hard hats, I just put myself in the mindset of this is my first day at the new job working in the mines or whatever. So it's if I create a funny scenario surrounding these people who are trying to scare me, they can't scare me. Because it's they don't necessarily know that I'm doing that. I might try and say some funny quips to them.
No, you kept saying that. When we were walking by, you were doing some hazing. First day on the job,
First day on the job, yeah. Don't be too rough on me, boys. But, yeah. That's the best way to handle any situation. If you're alone in your house and you hear bumps and stuff, you start getting scared, just distract yourself. Or, tell yourself it's a scenario. Just put yourself in denial. It's probably the best way to do it. What are the odds that a robber actually comes in your house? Super low. I don't think the stats of someone actually coming in are that high. It's most likely just the wind or a random raccoon or whatever. So I feel like it's better to be in denial than to be constantly paranoid. That's the better way to live your life, right? Even if your life is cut short by some murderer, hey, you weren't going to be able to stop them anyway because they're probably combat trained or something, right? Or they're just more confident physically in murdering people. So just let them have one, you know?
Oh, God.
And well, it's one of those things where some people actually live in fear every single day. They, come home and they'll lock everything and still be like, I'm probably going to get murdered tonight. And they're just, scared, you know?
Well, I don't see a problem with locking your doors. Everyone should lock their doors.
Yeah. No. This isn't going to become a debate about that. So we had a conversation earlier where my sister loves locking the doors. And
any person should.
Yeah. And that she was kind of given grief for doing that. And she did lock me out one time.
Get a key.
And it was only midnight. Yeah. And I got one now that I keep on me. So, but yeah. I don't think you can give anyone particular grief for that. It's like back in the day when people are like, oh, you got to eat less red meat or whatever. And then they go, dork. And it's like, they're not a dork. It actually, you know, there's a reason heart disease is the number one killer in America or just in general. But yeah, change your attitude towards general safety. whether it's like first aid safety or whatever.
This Halloween podcast is going to turn into
it's brought to you by St. John's Ambulance podcast. Yeah, first aid, medics, CPR,
all those murderers on Halloween. Yeah.
Oh, actually no, so I do have one, and I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast before, but if you're in a situation where you're feeling uncomfortable with a stranger, be extremely rude to them. Your general instinct, like when you're a kid, is to usually do that. Be like, hey, I don't know you, like back off. And when you become older, you have to like turn that intuition on its head, because that's rude and you have to be polite. And we live in a civilized world, so you're polite to strangers. You say, oh, sorry, excuse me. That kind of thing, right? Most people aren't general assholes. They're usually nice people, especially in Canada. But sociopaths, like murderers and robbers and rapists and these people who are active, intentional criminals out there, prey on that idea. And so they say the best self-defense is to be extremely rude to strangers. Like if you're in a parking garage. And this is like, most of the time it's for women. It's not usually men who get attacked, like for a sexual reason or to be kidnapped. It's usually women that happens to. And just be rude as hell. If you're in a parking garage, if you're in like an elevator going down a hallway, or you're in some sort of area where it's nighttime or it's secluded, be loud and be rude.
That's if they talk to you first. That's if they confront you first, right?
Well, no.
I could say, like, I understand that, but then you also don't want to be rude to people out of nowhere, because that could provoke them. Like, I know situations where, like, what if someone has a gun or a knife and you're, like, walking by them and all of a sudden you're just rude to them? Like, you're going to provoke them to, like, use the weapon.
No, maybe if you're a guy, but if you're a woman, most of the time people kind of pull this move when they're in public, right? Even if they're like, oh, I would attack you, but we're in public. So now that you're drawing all this attention towards us, I won't do it. Because most of the time it's for attention grabbing, right? So that other people look your way at your interaction. So it's like, if you come across as an asshole to a bunch of strangers, you'll never meet them again anyway. Better to be safe than sorry. So one, it's, yeah, if they come talk to you, like, hey, can I help you with something? Be like, no, thanks, but I don't know you. And, like, be loud about it and be like, bye. And then what's the other scenario? Okay, so I forget what this is, but there's a lot of scenarios where maybe you're driving a car and then someone will just get in. They'll, like, just jump in the passenger seat and you don't know if they have a gun or not, but it's like they're jumping in with the intent to kidnap you, rob you, rape you, murder you, whatever, right? So when that happens, I forget if you're supposed to jump out, because there's like a lot of scenarios where they'll shoot you if they're scared kind of thing. So it's like you don't want them to kidnap you, because as soon as they have control over you psychologically, it doesn't go away. You become like stuck in like this mode of I want to survive, so I'll keep agreeing with them and doing what they say until eventually they kill you or whatever. So it's like as soon as they get in the car, yeah, I think it's don't attack them. I think it's literally just jump out. Because they'll either take the car, and then you might have just saved your own life, and then you can just report it because you should know your own license plate. Or if they were trying to kidnap you, then that gives you time to put a block between you and them. Because if they have the gun, then they don't intend to kill you. They want you alive, so they won't shoot you. But they start to they don't know what to do, so it's like they're not going to shoot you if you're obviously like on the other side of the car jumping around, dancing around them so they don't get to you, right? So, yeah. In scenarios like that, yeah, don't attack, don't agree with them. Never agree with them. The first 5 seconds are crucial. It's like let them know that you're going to be trouble and it's not going to be easy for them, and it's better that they just go away and try it on someone else.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, that got a little dark.
No, what do they say? Self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Tips. But
if you call it, it'll come out there. Stay safe this Halloween season. Maybe, hey, people trick-or-treat all the time, so stay safe. Make sure you buddy up. Buddy up when you go outside, especially at night. Stay warm, even if it ruins your costume. Work it in your costume, whatever.
Okay, well, we have
just
to...
just have fun out there.
We have to end on a lighthearted note.
Yes. Go see Scream. It's a great movie. It's it's an oldie but goldie. You can watch Scream 4 if you want a more modern one, but it's not as good. What do you got?
No, you have to ask me something lighthearted.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I got a whole bunch of questions here. Where should I jump in? Oh, here's a cute one. What do you consider beautiful?
Is this Halloween related?
It can be. What Halloween scenario do you find beautiful? Do you like the decorations, the autumn weather, anything like that?
Well, I guess Halloween happens in fall, so what I find beautiful are the fall leaves, the colors,
yeah,
the beautiful trees,
yeah,
That is what is most beautiful about Halloween.
All the little pumpkins you can get.
And the little kids and little babies. Little babies in costumes.
Yeah, so cute.
They're so cute.
Forever cute. Very good. If you had to list one of your favorite Halloween candies that you wouldn't otherwise normally have, what would you place?
Well, when I was younger, I really liked getting dots, those like gummy candies, because like you would never find those normally. Like those only came out at Halloween, so that was special. Jolly Rancher lollipops will forever be one, because they're they're kind of, I think, more available now. But around Halloween, it's the only time they have the lollipops, or they used to. And I remember one Halloween, like, the day after, or a couple days after, going to Shoppers to get, like, you know, like, people go to get, like, really good deals on candy. This was, like, kind of at the beginning of, like, when people realized that, like, Shoppers had really good deals right after Halloween. Because I was with my mom, not even intending to get candy. She just had to go there for some reason, and I walked in, and, like, a huge bag of Jolly Rancher lollipops were on sale for 25 cents.
Oh, wow. That's a really good deal. Yeah.
So nice. I always remember those two. Yeah. I always found it really special to get Pringles, even though those exist 24/7, 365.
Original Pringles? Or
yeah,
flavored?
But for some reason, I just thought like it was so fun, because all the chips people normally give you are like just plain chips, and that's so lame and boring.
Yeah.
So like every like so often a house would give you like Pringles, and I'm like, that's the real chip right there. Nice. That's the golden. Yeah.
Well, what about the full bars? You ever get those?
Yeah. Oh, there was always one house where you would walk in and they would just be like, choose which full size bar you want.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Those people are the best people. You
we
know?
Did that.
That's universal.
We did that one year.
Wow.
Now, like not when I was younger. Yeah. Because now that I'm older and I don't trick-or-treat anymore, like, more of the fun comes with, like, giving out the treats. Yeah. And so, like, my mom would, like, be like, I'm going to be that house that gives out full-size candy bars. And we did that one year. And now, for the past few years, we've been doing, like, treat bags. So my mom will buy a bunch of bags and then buy, like, a bunch of candy. And I'll, like, spend a night, like, putting together, like, 60 little treat bags with, like, different kinds of candy and, like, not games, but, like rings or balls or stickers or whatever, and just like putting them all together, tying them with ribbon. So now it's become like a fun like activity for me to like, give away.
Yeah.
Since I can't receive anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. It's better. It's part of growing up, I guess. Is that you no longer become the receiver, you become the giver.
Yeah.
It's a maturing process. Yeah, yes. It's going from the caterpillar to the butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, I guess we'll say goodbye because we're about halfway through. But let the audience know where you're going to be for Halloween this year. What they should look out for.
On the 31st?
Yeah.
At my house, watching scary movies.
Yeah.
Giving away candy.
Nice.
Watching all the cute babies in their little costumes.
What are you going to be wearing, though?
Not in a creepy way. An actual Halloween? Probably not going to dress up.
Okay, what about
the
weekend?
I'll dress up
the
weekend before.
Yeah, what are you going to be the weekend before?
Well,
is it too complicated to explain?
It's very niche.
That's the quick way to put it, yeah.
And this is dropping before we're going out, and some of the people I know listen to it.
Oh,
so
there we go.
It's a surprise. I don't know why it's a surprise, because it's so niche and no one's going to understand it. Literally
still,
no one.
Leave it as a surprise.
Even when I tell people what it is, they might be like, okay, I know that, but like, huh?
I still can't see it, yeah. Well, okay, then how about this? What are we going to be before the weekend, or the day before?
Well, we're going to Rocky Horror Picture
yes.
Show, and we're dressing up as Brad and Janet.
Very good.
So, a little cliche for us.
No, but we've never done it before, so it's original by our standards.
Yeah, but it's an easy pick for us to do that.
Yeah, because we're a
it's
guy
not
and
complicated,
girl.
Yeah. Like, there are a couple, you know. Is that known? I think so.
I've mentioned that I love someone named Sam. I don't know if it's you, but
I might not be that Sam.
Yeah, who knows? All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. Thanks for chatting with me. Thanks for filling the ears of our audience.
Thanks for having me on this special
Halloween goodness.
30-ish minute episode. Sorry, it's not an hour, but it's just a special Halloween episode.
Adios, ghouls and ghosts.